You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, December 18th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Friday's shooting at an elementary school in Connecticut has raised questions for teachers and parents across the country. How do you help children understand what happened, and how do you make them feel safe at their own school? It's a conversation taking place in many homes and classrooms this week, including those in Sitka. Kiku Shaheen Elementary School, for example, sent home a letter with tips on how to talk about the tragedy. School district officials are meeting with police to review security procedures. Teachers, meanwhile, are trying to maintain a routine in the classroom, but also be responsive to students who might need to talk about what happened. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Each week inside room 11 at Kiku Shaheen Elementary School, teacher Margie Esquiro and her second graders have a class meeting.
Where we talk about classroom rules, being safe, being responsible, being respectful, school rules, bullying, anything that comes up. And
on Monday, she showed up for work.
I was very nervous this morning.
And decided that she would wait to see if any of her students mentioned what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut.
No one brought up the incidents that happened on Friday. And so I thought, okay. And I had talked to a couple moms and got the impression over the weekend that some families talked a lot with their children and some didn't. Some kids heard about it and were totally oblivious. And you just have to pay attention to the age of the kids.
Monday's conversation, she said, was much more general about appropriate friendships and getting along with other people. But at Keat and at other Sitka schools, students and staff have talked about safety before.
We practice lockdown drills at every one of our buildings.
Steve Bradshaw is superintendent of schools in Sitka. He says one of the drills just happened Friday at Sitka High School. The only exception, he said, is at Baranoff Elementary School, which houses kindergarten and first grades.
At Baranoff, we don't practice with the students in the building just because we're concerned about the maturity of the student at that level, but we do practice with the teachers there.
Bradshaw says police have stepped up patrols around Sitka's five school buildings and that the principals and police will meet on Tuesday to discuss security procedures. Back at Kiku Shaheen, Principal Casey Demert is sitting on the stage in the lunchroom.
We are kind of towards the tail end of lunch. Fifth graders are just finishing up and heading outside to enjoy the snow.
This school day is really not that much different than any other this year. If anything, that's because of what happened Friday, not in spite of it.
One of the things that's really important, too, is that we kind of continue with our daily routines. We ask teachers to keep an eye on their kids, of course, and if some are really struggling with things, we have excellent school counselors that are available, you know, to really help kids process through the feelings that they might have.
And that takes us back to Margie Esquiro's second grade classroom. The school day came and went without much talk of Connecticut or shootings or tragedy. But Esquiro says that in the days ahead, her 7- and 8-year-old students will probably start getting curious.
So I guess we'll just see what happens because it's not going to go away in the media. It's going to be on the radio. Now kids will start talking about it.
To each other,
and that happens on the playground. Kids will start talking about it, and then they'll come in with something they heard, and then we'll just deal with it as it happens.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Sitka High Wood Shop is involved in an experiment to learn if young growth timber can be made into high-end furniture and other products. One of three class sections is using locally harvested and milled alder in their projects. The other two are using traditional hardwoods from the lower 48. Their teacher says his students don't notice any difference. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
For decades, the story of timber on the Tongass was about old growth and pulpwood. When the Obama administration took office in 2009, that story started a new chapter as Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack announced a transition framework for the entire Forest Service. Scott Harris is with the Sitka Conservation Society.
The transition vision is to move away from a dependence on old growth logging to try to look at more multiple use and variable uses of the forest. For example, young growth, restoration, recreation, supporting salmon fisheries, things like that.
The Sitka Conservation Society has been active in developing watershed restoration projects on Prince of Wales Island at Sitko Bay and beginning next year on Kruzoff Island in Sitka Sound. Recently, the organization applied for a $10,000 grant from the National Forest Foundation to build capacity in second growth timber. A couple of prior log cabin projects have both been well received. Harris says SCS wanted to try something else.
We successfully got a grant, and we said, well, let's see if we can find a really high-end use for young growth that could potentially help us, you know, develop that responsible relationship with our environment.
It doesn't matter very much to me what the wood itself is, as long as it's relatively easy for kids to use. So I'm I'd love to buy it locally if I possibly could.
Randy Huey teaches wood shop at Sitka High. The Sitka Conservation Society bought his beginning woodworking students 1,800 board feet of Pacific Red Alder for their fall semester projects, enough to make about 100 nightstands.
The monetary aspects of this whole experiment are probably the bigger questions, but I don't know anything about that. It's lovely wood, and it's been a successful project. It has some challenges that poplar does not have, in that it has more knots, more tendency to cup, split, warp, check. Some of those defects may have to do with milling and drying processes and not just purely within the wood.
The alder was harvested at False Island, about 35 miles north of Sitka, by a contractor who brought the wood back to town in the round, milled it, and dried it in a small kiln he set up. Scott Harris says this was the most challenging part of the project. The grant was intended to help build capacity in young growth, but it also revealed a few shortcomings. Building real capacity will likely take a much more substantial investment. Randy Huey says everyone was learning as they go, and that doesn't change the fact that the alder is beautiful wood. His beginning woodworkers didn't really dwell much on where the materials came from. They're still learning how to use shop tools safely and how to measure within 1/16th of an inch.
We had two classes using poplar and one class using the locally milled alder. So it's really me conducting the experiment of how this wood is as a teaching material. And the kids just got nice nightstands.
Besides alder, there is money in the grant to buy locally milled spruce and hemlock, which Huey says will be used by his advanced carpentry students to construct a timber frame bike shelter for the Sitka Sound Science Center. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Southeast game managers are working on new wolf control programs for Southeast Alaska. The state's Board of Game will hear about the plan when it meets next month in Sitka. The Department of Fish and Game is looking at reducing wolves near Petersburg and Ketchikan to help boost deer numbers. Predator control efforts are underway in other parts of the state, but these new programs would be the first of their kind in decades for Southeast. Joe Vicknicki reports.
One program would take place in a portion of State Game Management Unit 3, which includes the islands around Petersburg, where deer harvests have dropped over the past decade. That includes Petersburg's home island, Mitkoff. Despite a short two-week one-buck hunting season here, Fish and Game Area wildlife biologist Rich Lowell says the harvest numbers have not improved.
For example, in 2000, there were an estimated 169 deer taken on Mitkoff. And in 2009, that fell to an estimated harvest of just 13 deer. So we're looking at ways that we can help get this deer population off the ground, and we feel that reducing predation on deer is probably the best tool we have in our toolbox right now.
Across the Wrangell Narrows from Petersburg on Kuprinoff Island's Lindenberg Peninsula, deer harvests have also dropped precipitously in the past decade. Fish and Game wants the Board of Game to shorten the season on the eastern side of that island to mirror the season and bag limits for Mitkoff. The department blames the deer decline on several factors, including several snowy winters, the loss of habitat through logging, competition from an increased moose population, and predation by both wolves and black bears. Since 2005, the overall harvest for Unit 3 has failed to reach an annual objective of 900 deer set by the Board of Game. Meanwhile, hunting and trapping numbers for wolves in the area have increased. Lowell says the wolf harvest has averaged around 50 a year, but spiked to 97 last year, the highest in at least three decades.
So that's one of the things that leads us to believe that we have pretty high wolf abundance here, and then that is a factor that's contributing to our low deer numbers. And anecdotally, whether you talk to hunters in Unit 3 or biologists with state and federal staff, that they would, you know, suggest that, yeah, we're seeing a lot of wolf sign. People are encountering a lot of wolves incidentally. our wolf population clearly looks to be, you know, pretty high here right now.
State law on intensive management of wildlife requires the Board of Game to consider reductions or eliminations of hunting seasons, also liberalized hunting and trapping seasons for predators, and habitat improvement projects before it considers predator control. Lowell points out that reduced deer hunting seasons are already in place, or in the case of Lindenberg, under consideration by the board. He notes that wolf hunting seasons have already been lengthened, and he says much of the land in the area is federally owned national forest, so state-sponsored habitat improvement projects are limited.
If the aforementioned actions do not or are unlikely to achieve the intensive management population and harvest objectives, the board must consider predator control. And so that's kind of where we are now, is at the request of the Board of Game back in 2010, they asked the department, please take a look at actions you might take to increase deer numbers, including predator control.
The department has drafted a feasibility analysis for trapping wolves in the Petersburg area, and Lowell admits there's no certainty that wolf control will work.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today, mostly cloudy with isolated snow showers, highs around 32 with east wind 10 miles per hour, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, windy snow with snow accumulation up to 1 inch, except around 2 inches over southern Baranof Island. Lows around 30, east wind 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts to 40 miles per hour. Wednesday will be cloudy with a chance of snow, highs around 33. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.